Genesis 39 verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master, that would be Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him. Your lost friends, families, co-workers, and neighbors ought to know there's something going on in your life. They might not be able to verbalize that the Lord is with you, but there ought to be something different in our lives. When we're in Egypt is a picture of the world. And as we are out here in the world, lost people ought to say, I don't know what's going on with you, but something's different. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. It came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Not because of the Egyptians, but because of Joseph. Most of you know Brother Johnny Jones. He preaches our fall revival, and he's a West Virginia mountain preacher. He loves God. He walks with God. He knows electrical matters like nobody's business. It'd be safe to say he's a genius in that area. He was at the main office of the coal mining company one day, walked into a board meeting, and they were wringing their hands. They were upset. He said, what is going on? And they said, there's no orders. We're going to have to shut the mine down. That was going to affect thousands of people in that part of the country. And they couldn't explain it. And there was no legitimate explanation as to why. And he said, we need to pray. They're in a boardroom. Y'all know what boardrooms look like, and y'all know how people who are in boardrooms dress and what they think of themselves. And there's Brother Johnny Jones looking like Johnny Jones. And he said, we need to pray. He fell on his knees in the boardroom. Oh, God! Started calling on God. He said, if you don't get us some coal orders, a bunch of these men are going to lose their jobs. And some of them love you. The ones that don't love you need to meet you and be born again. And the saved ones are witnessing to them. Lord, we need some orders here in the coal mining business. He left, went and did his job. He is back in the office. He's always out in the mines. He is in the office a week later, and they're having a board meeting. They motioned for him to come in. They said, you stop praying now. We got more orders than we know what to do with. He said, oh, no, we're not going to stop praying. He fell on his face right there and said, oh, God, thank you for the orders. God ought to be able to bless your place of business because of you. Amen. And if you're not in a place of business that he can bless, you need to ask God for another job. Say amen right there. We just had that discussion with one of the men. He said, preacher, pray about my job. They're going a direction I'm not going. I said, God's got this. Amen. Verse 5, it came to pass from that time he made him overseer and over all that he had. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Quit pronouncing curses on people. You let God curse who he wants to curse. God might want to bless an Egyptian for your sake. But when he does, you make sure they know who gets the glory. Amen. This is real to me. This stuff's real to me. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Verse 22, Joseph has now landed in prison. Verse 22, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And all God's people said, Whether he is in Potiphar's house, probably, the commentators agree, probably one of the greatest men, if not the most powerful, right under Pharaoh. When he was in Potiphar's house, God blessed him and put him over everything. He landed in prison, and what happened? He ended up over everything. So my circumstances don't dictate who I am. I dictate what's going on in my circumstances because I've got a Heavenly Father. Potiphar's house, prison. Joseph just rose like cream to the top. Why? He was a man of integrity. Have y'all figured out that in 2020 in the United States of America, the land that I love, there is a serious lack of integrity? Here's what the word means. Character. Innocence. Single focus. Completeness. Just, I am who I am. You don't have to leave going, I wonder if he's all that. My dad pastored 36 years. And of all the things I learned from him, here's one that stands out way at the top. We'd go home on a Sunday and there would be visitors there, or a family would maybe start coming fairly regularly and start talking about maybe uniting with that body of believers. And I'll never forget Brother PJ sitting in that couch at the parsonage on Reed School Road in Taylor's. Dad'd go, they've been hurt. And his reputation is that he's hard and mean. He's not hard and mean. And a tear would get in his eye. Miss Frankie, he'd go, they've been hurt. He'd say, I don't know if a preacher lied to them. I don't know if somebody took advantage of them. Or sometimes he'd come home and he'd go, It'd be a whole family. And he'd go, that woman's been hurt. I don't know what it is in her past. She's been hurt. And then the next thing out of his mouth, Brother Fred, I hope the Lord will let us help them. And I said all that to say this. I want me, I want my family, I want you and your families. I want us to be so real that people just go, I don't know what it is about them people, but they're different. I don't think there's two versions of them. I think there's just one. I think they are men and women of integrity. I think if you see them, Brother Morris, at church, it's one thing. I think if you run into them at Waffle House or high-end Cracker Barrel, that's about as fancy as we get. I don't care where you run into them. They're just the same. If you see them at the Apple Festival, they're the same. If you see them at a hike up at DuPont, they're just the same. That's what I want our testimony to be. If that's the way it's going to be, Brother Shipman, we're going to have to be men and women of character and integrity. And I want you to look in verse number 16. I'm going to fill you in if you're not familiar with the story. There are some new Christians here who might not know this story as well as some others. She, that's Potiphar's wife, laid up his garment by her until his Lord, that's interesting right there, Joseph's Lord. What does that tell you about Miss Potiphar? Help me, ladies. He wasn't head of that home. Let's all stand and sing a verse of Just As I Am. Altars are open. Woo, I'm killing it. It was sweet up until that time. Until his Lord came home, Joseph's Lord. That's in there for a reason. Who said it Wednesday night? The preacher said it Wednesday night. Every word in your Bible matters. That'll preach right there. You take that and preach it in a revival and watch if what happens. Okay? You let me know what happens and I'll decide if I'm going to preach it. Okay. Look in verse 6. Okay, let me tell you the story. Joseph is bought by Potiphar. Potiphar is strong and powerful in the land. And Joseph is over. He's the goodman of the house. He takes care of everything. You've already figured that out. One message that I listen to on this chapter, I read commentaries and listen to messages and kind of see what others have got. And I study and I read and I pray. And one preacher said he felt like by the time this attempted act by Miss Potiphar happens, that Joseph had already been in the house 10 years. He's probably basing that on how many years Joseph probably spent in prison. Okay, so he's been in that house 10 years, 17 to now 27. And he's a single young man and he is working in this house. One man said that when she says, come lie with me, he said, he was preaching in a big way. I heard this one in person, not on recording. He said, he wasn't going to give in to that old hag. I got to tell you something about temptation. The devil is not going to tempt you with an old hag. I need a witness right there. Don't hang your head. Y'all know the day we live in, okay? With all due respect to old hags everywhere, the devil is not going to tempt you with an old hag. Now, she may be a teenage grandma, but the devil is going to tempt you with something that's tempting. I need a witness. I'm preaching good. He's not going to send a toothless wonder from Alabama. Come lie with me. Get out of here. Here's an application for Waffle House. That's where you need to be. You don't need to be tempting people. I'm in the book. Proverbs 7. Everybody say Proverbs 7. I'm in the book. Okay. So here he is. He's grown up. He's literally grown up in this house. And he's working and God's blessed them. You know what I saw in the text this morning? Looking over my notes this morning, you know what I saw? God blessed the entire house of Potiphar because of Egypt. Who else was in that house? Potiphar's wife. This ain't funny. The people that God uses you to bless may often be the ones who turn on you. Her husband's empire had been greatly blessed because of this young, upstanding young man who grew up in their home from 17 to 27 and was a man of character and integrity. God blessed them. God blessed her because of him. And what's her thanks? Come lie with me. And the Bible says she said it to him day by day by day. And finally, one day, the other men are out working apparently fairly close by because she gets them in there pretty quickly. And she realizes there's nobody in the house. She grabs him. And you know what? One of the commentators said, if you'll look in your Bible, she says unto him, lie with me. He says she wasn't just a temptress. He said she was his owner. She was his owner and she was uttering a command. They had authority over this young man. And she utters this. He says, no, ma'am. He said, your husband hadn't kept anything in this house from me except for you because you were his wife. I will not do this and sin against God. She says, yes, you will. He leaves. He leaves his coat in her hand and he gets out of Dodge. She looks down at the coat. I read that in verse number 16. And she goes, I've got him now. She waits. She screams. The men rush in. She says, he tried to force me. And I screamed and he left. And look, here's his coat. He had already started to disrobe. Here's his coat. And she waits till the husband comes home. Joseph ends up in prison. Okay? So what I want us to look at for the next few minutes is the coat of character. And I want to ask everybody under the sound of my voice, man, woman, child, single, married, whatever your status in life is, are you a man, woman, boy, or girl of character? What are you doing with your life? Are you pure of heart? One of the definitions of integrity is innocency. That doesn't mean dumb and gullible. It just means that they're real. They're the real deal. I want you to look in verse 6 and verse 23. We've already read them, so I won't read them again. I want you to think for a minute about the trust that is earned. Brother John, in two places that could be no more different than two places on the planet, the wealthiest, next to the wealthiest man in the kingdom. Egypt was the world's lone superpower at this time. Okay? Don't think cavemen dragging women by the hair. Egypt had it going on. There are speculations that are well founded that they had plumbing. This was thousands of years ago. This was an advanced culture. And here is this, next to the highest man in the kingdom, in all likelihood, Potiphar. And he elevates Joseph and puts him over everything he's got. Several years later, he ends up in prison. And what happens? They see him as a man of character, integrity, and they put him over everything that's got. I want you to see the trust that is earned. I'm going to ask you one question and then I'm moving on. Church, in 2020, Western North Carolina, have you earned anybody's trust? What are you known for? Everybody in here's got a reputation. I can say his name, and if you know him, something comes to mind. I can say his name, and if you know him, something comes to mind. Because I had moved to this area after years in the upstate. Sometimes folks would visit or somebody would say, "Preacher, I want your church involved in this." And I didn't know those people. And I would go to Brother John. I would go to Brother Aaron. I've gone to the men in the church and I would say, "What do you know about this man? What do you know about this ministry? What do you know about these people? Are they men and women of character and integrity that we can trust, that we can fellowship with? What do you know?" And I want to ask you a question. What do people know about you? I want to ask you, what do people know about me? I want to ask you, what do people know about this church? We were in a church about a month ago. And we sat down, I spoke at a sweetheart banquet, and we sat down for fellowship, and the lady who sat down across from us, here was one of the first things out of her mouth. She said, "Are y'all having those summer services again?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Oh, good." And I said, "In fact, if we get the addition," I said, "we're paying as we go, but if the fellowship hall addition is done, we're going to make it possible for people to get snacks and stay a little longer." She went, and this is what she said, "Miss Gloria." She literally beamed like a little child at Christmas. And she said, "Oh, good." I think she's been here 3 times, Billy. She said, "Oh, good. I've got to know some of you people. And I'll enjoy catching up." Been here 3 times. Most of those times got here 5-7 minutes before church started. And I don't know who's touched her, but somebody's touched her. And she said, "Oh, good. I enjoy fellowshipping with your people." Church, that's a testimony. That's a testimony. And it's a testimony you shouldn't take for granted. It's a testimony we don't need to put on the shelf, because Miss Kim Frisbee will tell you in no uncertain terms, it's not that way everywhere. Here's what she told me when they came. She said, "Preacher, we visited all over Western North Carolina." In her words, I've never heard it put this way, but it's brilliant. Somebody ought to put it on Pinterest. She said, "We felt like wallpaper." And when she said that, I had to think about it. I said, "Wallpaper? I'm slow. And I went, "Oh, wallpaper. In other words, you're just there." And I said, that's tragic. So we might handshake and hug too much, but you're not going to feel like wallpaper. Somebody help me. I'm serious. That is a testimony for a church. And Joseph had a testimony. Look in verse number 7. Look in verse number 7. "It came to pass after these things," look at the middle of the verse, "his master's wife cast her eye upon Joseph." Nobody here but us. Why? After these things. What things? God blessing the house of Potiphar because of Joseph. You've been some bad sermon illustrations lately. You've been lost. You've been prodigal. Today you're Joseph. There we go. Stand up, Joseph. You're Joseph. God's blessing her because of him. God's hand is on him. God's blessed him. God is with him. And for these things, she cast her eyes on him. Thank you. Y'all picking that up? We think when we sell out and live for Jesus, "Though a host should encamp against me, yet will I not fear." You better fear. when it's time to fear. I'm not correcting my Bible. Preacher, why is this happening? I've been trying so hard. You just answered your question. You know why it's happening? Because you've been trying so hard. Preacher, why is this happening? I'm living for Jesus. Apparently you don't need me. You just answered your question. Number two, target. When you live for Jesus, you got a target on your back. And you'll face temptations. You'll face trials. You'll face hardships that you'd have never faced if you hadn't been serious about living for Jesus. You don't hear that preaching everywhere. Joel Osteen won't tell you that. Your Bible will tell you that. That when you make up your mind, you're going to live for Jesus, somebody's going to set their eyes on you and try to bring you down. Mama, it's worth it. It's worth it. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. Somebody say amen. You make up your mind you're going to live for Jesus, and you by declaration of I'm going with God, somebody's going to turn against you. Whose applause would you rather have, theirs or God's? I'd rather have God's. I'd rather be God's faithful servant. Stephen said this when they stoned him to death, and just as the last breath expelled from his lungs, he said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Somebody help me. That incensed those Jews because they knew that any time Jesus stood up, there was something big going on. And Stephen was bold enough to say, I don't just see him, he's standing. And they went into an absolute rage. You are going to suffer as a Christian. You have, and others have. And all I want to say to you, church, is it's worth it. I'm not trying to be dramatic, Steve. The day may come, I've heard it all my life, but now we're seeing it. The day may come when we're sent to jail for preaching and believing what we believe and stand for at Progress Baptist Church. That's not exaggerating. It's happening. It happens around the world, and there are isolated things around here. Let's just be real for a minute. And again, I'm not trying to be dramatic. I told y'all in the email, the Facebook post, and text, come if you wanted to come. There was no pressure on anybody to be here. Everybody's got physical reasons, emotional reasons, mental reasons, spiritual reasons. And I wanted everybody who came to be here because they wanted to be. But I want to tell you something. When the government starts telling me that we have to have 100 or less, but they can't handle the hordes at Costco, Sam's, and Walmart, and they don't have a problem with that, there's something sinister going on. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but they want to regulate what we do for 90 minutes. And there's mayhem going on down the street. That's weird. Here's what one of my friends said. He called me last night. He said, Doug, here's a group text going around. I'm glad I wasn't in it. I don't have time for it. I got to preach. If any of you remembered to pray for me yesterday, thank you. The Lord helped me. But he said, Doug, here's a group text going around. He said, and they's all caving. He said, and here's what I told them. We ought to obey God rather than men. And he said this, when the kings did the edict in Daniel and said, you can't pray, it said Daniel just went up to his room and did what he had done the day before. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse number 9b. Trust is earned. You got a target on you. 9b. Get this, church. This will revolutionize your life. Look at 9b. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? 9b, the last line of B. Gloria, here's what got him through. Here's what gave him the guts to say no. He had a bigger yes. You need to listen to me. I'm going to preach plain. And listen, this text is far deeper than one immoral relationship between a servant and his master's wife. This cross, money, you need to have integrity in money. You need to have integrity in obviously in moral matters. You need to have integrity in your business. And here's what 9b says. If I do this, I'm going to sin against God. I told you I was getting ready. Listen to me. My mama's here. I did this a few weeks ago. Sounded like a country song. I said, stand up, mama. I said, man, that's got a ring to it. I ought to write a country song. Stand up for a minute. Many a young man has promised his mama he'd keep himself pure, only to fail. Why? It's how we're wired, men and women. Many a young lady has promised her daddy I'll keep himself pure. We're dealing with Joseph right here, so I'm preaching to the men. Many a young man has promised his mama he'd keep himself pure, only to fall when the right temptation came along. Thank you, Mom. You want to know why I kept myself pure? I didn't want to sin against God. That's the greatest yes in my life, is I don't want to sin against God. The reason some of you get on the wagon, y'all like me losing weight, since I have pastored this church, I've lost about 500 pounds. Really? Really? Yeah, but I ain't going there. You can confess your faults to the whole congregation. I ain't confessing yours. Miss Pam, I've lost at least 500 in the last 10 years. I know how to lose weight. I can't keep it off, but I can lose it. The reason some of y'all, in your matters of integrity, morals, money, keep your word, business, you're on the wagon, you're off the wagon. You're on the wagon, you're off the wagon. You don't have a great enough yes in your life. And you don't look at it as a sin against God. I promise you, I'd be slim and trim and irresistible. Help me, Red. I'd be slim and trim if I made weight a matter between me and God. Now that is going over like a lead balloon. I've done confess. Okay, I'm a man. You with me? I shouldn't have gone to weight, but I did, and now it's right where we live. We need a greater yes in our lives. And it impacts me and always has so powerfully, so strongly at the end of verse 9. Joseph could have given her, he could have said, Brother PJ, I'm a Hebrew. He could have said any number of things, but he said, I'm not sinning against God. I want you to look at four verses in this chapter, and I'm coming to a close. The Lord was with Joseph. Would you do me a favor? It'll help you. Would you say that with me? And the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 3, and his master saw that, say it, the Lord was with him. 21, say it, but the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 23, middle of the verse, because the Lord was with him. Church, please listen. Why was the Lord with him? James 4:8. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. I know this not because you've bragged on yourself. Listen to me, church. Over the years, they've suffered as a target because the Lord was with them. Do you want to know why the Lord was with them? They drew nigh to God, and He drew nigh to them. And when you draw nigh to God, Preacher Raines, and He draws nigh to you, not everybody's going to like it. And you want to know who hates it the most? Those who know Him, but for whatever reason, won't draw nigh to Him. And just like he said about who's saved and who's not at the beginning of his Sunday school lesson, there are those who would say, oh, if your heart's not just yearning to draw nigh to him, you probably don't know him. Many don't. But I'll tell you something. That command wouldn't be in there if it was just automatic. The cost is too high. And if you're drawing nigh to him and he's drawing nigh to you, don't let the fruit of that be pride. Let it be humility. But let me tell you something. Now what I want to do in closing is this. Do you remember the last message that we preached out of 38? Judah's dark journey. Do you remember that filth? You said, Brother Raines, did you just call it filth? It's a filthy story. It's as filthy as David's adultery. Do you remember the darkness of chapter 38, Seth? Judah? Those three boys? The daughter-in-law pretends to be a harlot? And her father-in-law takes the bait? And then in chapter 39, you've got a young, healthy, single young man, no wife, no pleasures of marriage, with the perfect opportunity. And he says, I'm not going to sin against God because I've got a coat of character. And you can rob me if you want of the coat, but you're not going to take my character. God help us as individuals, as families, and as a church to be people of character. And the way you're going to do that is to draw nigh to God and let Him draw nigh to you.